6 and the 21st verse is my assignment for this morning. I kind of got excited this morning before day. I don't know, somewhere I had trouble after 3:30 laying back down and going to sleep. I rose two or three times and I thought what God wanted this morning, and the Lord encouraged me with it, and I'm deeply indebted to the kingdom of God for the propeller behind ministry. If God didn't help me, we'd all be in trouble this morning. I'm here to tell you, of all the places in the Bible, you could turn anywhere and it would be a good place. But there's nothing more adequate than to find the place that God wants a particular congregation to be in. And I want to preach to you a message that I've never preached to you before about living with opportunity to make things right with God. I believe it is the most relevant message that any pulpit preacher could ever pronounce. We're living during an opportunity where we can make things right with God. I don't understand why people don't just want to get right with God. I told the guys this morning as I was making preparation for the music, we always gather in the fellowship hall and go over our music and then pray. And I told them I was excited to be where I am this morning, knowing that God had something relevant to where we're living. I know something about you that you don't think I know. I know that God's got this in line for you. You have an opportunity to do something with God today. We put things off sometimes. We are prone to procrastinate. We're prone to look for some vent or some place or some door to walk through to prevent us from having to deal with how things really are. But God knows that there's some things will be rewarding to us if we'll just do what's right. The story that I'm about to read has captured the nation of Israel. It was evident that many, many times they did what was right, but many, many times they did what was wrong. Now, the two things that moved me about that, one is God didn't wipe them completely off the face of the earth. Boy, that's wonderful. He would have been just in doing so if he wanted to, because he's a sovereign God. But he didn't. And that leads me to say, number two, you ought to be thankful if you got something wrong in you, that God's given you an opportunity to be where you are today to get it right. Now, I know there's a lot of things we could say that might appease people, but I want to tell you something. God ain't interested in my little element of intellect to try to change the minds of people. It'll take the Spirit of the living God to do something with where we are. There's a couple of things that we've got to consider when we look at the nation. Number one, we've got to consider what they forgot. Anybody in here ever forgot anything? Amen. I want you to know, I believe that it's evident that sometimes we are prone to wonder. We forget exactly where we're going and who we're serving and what it's all about. I'd like to be faithful when Jesus comes. I wouldn't want him finding me with my lips to a liquor bottle when he comes in the rapture. I'd like for him to find me faithful and doing right. You said, preacher, why under God would you ever mention that? I don't know, you figure it out. Let's stand as we read God's word. Psalm 106 and verse 21. If you found it, please acknowledge publicly by saying amen. They forget God. God who? Their Savior. Do you understand that if you leave the most important person out of your life, you'll get deeper and deeper in debt with hardship and complications? Great God up in heaven, sometimes we get lost in what's happening around us. Sometimes we get bogged down with what's taking place inside of us. And the only persuasion I'm looking for this morning is the one that heaven puts on you. If heaven puts you under pressure, I'm excited about it. I didn't come to hurt nobody, didn't come to harm nobody, didn't come to damage nobody. But I'm here to tell you, we've got an opportunity to do something with God. The Bible said they forget God. their Savior, which had done what? Great things in Egypt. I'm going to let you be seated because I'm going to read some additional verses. We recognize that Egypt was a place of binding on the people of God. Can I identify a couple of three things? Number one, it was a place they didn't have to live. If you and I do what's right, live for God, glorify heaven, I want to tell you we won't have to go to those bondage places. Now I want to say that while they may have went there, it is a type of bondage. Now realistically, they were bound up in Egypt. They were a pipeline of people set out by God's destination to carry out the works of heaven, and they wound up in a place they should have never been living in. You said, then why is it recorded? Wait and ask God, he'll tell you, if it's necessary. Of course, you know, I've about concluded a few things about all them questions people's got on earth about asking God. Because by the time they get to heaven, they won't need knowledge. They'll have complete knowledge. You said, how you know that? Because he said, we shall be like him. Is anything you don't know? Amen. Hey, you better feel. The theology of some people just messed up. Amen. Are y'all asleep? Y'all better get up now. Hook up with me right here. It'll be a hard road to hoe if we can't get together. The Bible says that clearly the Lord had done great things in Egypt. Now, I said Egypt was the place of bondage, and God did great things in Egypt. You said, well, what do you think he was trying to say? I think he was trying to say, in spite of all they did to hurt themselves and all they did to harm themselves, God heard their voice, and he went to Egypt and got them out. Great God Almighty. What a wonderful thought. Look at verse 22 now. Well, so we're going somewhere. Wondrous works in the land of Ham and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Now, I don't tell you, there's some things we can do to save a nation. This book declared it, that when times like that happened in their nation, they didn't grumble about it. They didn't merely complain about it. He interceded with God over it. And great God, that'll make a big difference, won't it? You know, I wish I wouldn't get so aggravated when things are sideways with me. I wish I could pray more faithful about it. There's some things I'd like to tear all to pieces. Because it gnaws at me and it agitates me. Does it ever bother you to think that God Almighty would give us an opportunity to get right with God this morning? It excites me. The Bible said it clearly, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We ought to be excited that God's giving opportunity. Notice the Bible said that there was somebody stood in the way. Verse 24, yea, they despised the pleasant land. Now we're getting down to where we live. You know, we got it better than we've ever had it. Sometimes we just disgruntled. We got the best clothes we've ever had, living in the best housing we've ever had, driving the best cars they've ever built. And sometimes we're sideways with all of that. I got two or three believe that. And the Bible said, yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believed not his word. Now I want to make a couple of other observations crystal clear. When you get out of touch with God, there's no end to what you will say and no end as to what you will do when you're out of the will of God. Now I had a message, a different message maybe for tonight, but I done got honed in right here, and there's no need to be in a real big hurry because God's trying to tell us that we've got an opportunity to do something to get right with him. The Bible spoke plainly, and the Bible spoke clearly that not only did they despise where they were living, they did not believe the word. If you ever get into a dark place in your life that you don't believe what God says, you're in bad shape. I believe there's a lot of people in bad shape, don't you? I said, I believe there's a lot of people in bad shape. They don't believe God. Number one, they don't believe what he said about his coming. He's going to come, the Bible said, like a thief in the night. You said, what does that mean? He ain't going to tell you when he's coming. He's going to catch some people unprepared. He's going to catch some people. Y'all listening to me. He's going to catch some people out of touch with heaven, out of touch with God, out of touch with each other, but he's still going to do it. Now, let's watch what he said in verse 25. But murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm such a knucklehead. Man, I get just burnt out sometimes. I've thought about quitting a lot of times. And I thought, people don't listen to nothing I say, no how. Well, they didn't listen to the Lord. Why should I feel less than him? But I'm pretty ignorant sometimes. You know, I just don't get the message. I'm not near as smart as some people. They act like they've got it all together. Well, I wish they'd preach this message and I wouldn't have to feel so bad about it. When I start thinking about where the Lord is at work and what God is doing, it reminds me that I better be careful to what I say. One thing I want to caution you, be careful what you say out of your mouth when you're out of the will of God. And did you hear what I just said? Be careful what you say when you're in a moment of rage. Be careful what you do when you feel like you're down and out. It might get you in big trouble. I'm coming back to this in just a moment. I'm going to finish my reading. But murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them. Who did? God did. To overthrow them, literally to turn them around. You want to know why things go bad sometimes with us? God's trying to tighten the screws on us. He wants to get us back in the fold. He wants to get us talking right again. He wants to get us acting right again. He wants to get us attending faithful again. He wants to get us in touch with heaven again. I want to tell you right now, God knows, great God, I'm feeling better about it already. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for helping me. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. And you know, they done wound up in Egypt. And they were there because they wasn't listening. So they leave. Within 11 days, they'd have been shouting the victory, sucking up on a big old grape about big as a watermelon. If they just went on in and took the land to Canaan. But they didn't. Now, I want to make... And boy, I'm making all these side streets. I'm on the scenic tour this morning. I'm going to preach it all. When we find them leaving Egypt, they were leaving hardship and bondage and trouble and demons. But they didn't get but 3 days and they lost it again. I don't know, but I dare say it takes some Baptists 3 days and they've lost their mind. Y'all still with me? My God, you said, what you trying to say? Boy, it cautions me. I want to tell you right now, you just can't tell the vibrations of society and how things are going, and even the vibration of church life can confuse you. You still with me? The Bible said that they, listen, and God lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. You know what God's saying? Y'all gonna have to get away from each other because you're not only in danger to yourself, you're an endangerment to everybody around you. Now, I don't know, maybe y'all better at this than I am, but I don't know of anything more aggravating to be around than a person that don't like nothing. You know what I'm talking about? It don't make no difference. I told Brother Jerry one day, I said, one of the reasons that I enjoy riding with you guys is because you don't care where we go eat, you're ready. It don't matter when we want to stop, you're ready. And under God, some men are worse than babies. I'm just glad to eat something, bless God. Now, it's been a long time since I'd eat potted meat, but I might try it again. I want to stay alive. I told him the other day, I said, I'll tell you, I ain't much on boiled okra, but if I was going to die, I might suck a little of it just to stay alive. Amen. Now I want to tell you right now, when I start thinking about all of this, it pulled my world together. God helped me, you little preacher, when he started studying this. You said, did you get the message? I think I'm getting it. Did you hear his voice? I think I'm hearing it, don't you? I want to tell you, it's far more applicable to me than it is to you. You said, theoretically? No. It applies to every one of us the same amount. But I want to tell you, for me to get it right, God's going to have to stump me right where I am. He's going to dig it out. And I want to tell you right now, he spoke to us clearly. The Bible said they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Now watch this. We're not talking about the mere heathens. We're talking about the people of God. They got so wrapped up in the world. They started acting like the world. They started eating like the world. They started doing like the world. You said, how bad was it? It said, thus they provoked him to anger in verse 29 with their inventions. Get this. And the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of Strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, listen to this, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but they mingled them. Do you understand God's trying to say it's been one error after another? It's been one mistake. I would to God I didn't have to make a mess of everything I touched. I would to God I could do good about it once in a while. I wished I could just get it right once in a while. You don't have to say about everything, bless God, I make a mess of a lot of stuff. But the Lord ain't never made one of them. He's got it right. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm not near as quick to make a decision nowadays as I was 25 years ago. I think about things a little longer now. Thank God I do, because I'd have peeled some flesh back a few times. Wouldn't you? I know some of you wild men. I've looked at you, I can tell. You can smile at me with one part, but you've got that knife blade open with the other hand. Somewhere in the region of their life, God began to deal with them because he saw what had happened in their life. The Bible said in 35 that they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. The most disturbing thing to me as a pastor is now you can't hardly tell where the world is and where the church is, because they all doing the same stuff. You just wouldn't believe how I'm bothered. They want to join our church and still sucking on a Pabst Blue Ribbon. I mean, somewhere in our life, we've got to get right with God. You said you all were excited about something that appears to be, it's not a negative subject. It's a positive reality. God wants us to turn around and live right. That's what he wants. And the Bible spoke. They listened in verse 33. Said that they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly. Boy, you never know just how far up the ladder it'll get somebody. You know, even Moses got kind of sideways a time or two. He did. Notice in verse number 36. And they served their idols, which were a what? A snare unto them. Now watch this. This will make your skin crawl. Yea, they sacrificed their what? And their what? Unto what? You look up that word devils in the Hebrew language, it means demons. You know what's kind of frightening? Is that the devil goes to church more than some Baptists. Yeah. And shed innocent blood. Now watch this. Even the blood of their sons and their daughters whom they sacrificed. Now wait a minute. That word literally means to slain or to kill. You mean a person can get so warped up in, I don't mean nothing. I mean they did. I'm not insinuating nothing. I'm telling you the facts. It's what happened. And we tell them they go into hell and they've done a whole lot less than burn their children. Boy, if you're saved, you wouldn't do this. You know, that's probably silly. There's a whole lot of things not becoming for a child of God, but it's being done every single day. And we live in an opportunity to get right with God. I'm not through yet. Now listen, we're headed somewhere positive. I want you to get the picture. If you're still with me, say amen. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto idols, unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people. Kindled against who? Kindled against who? His people. Insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen. That means God will let the world crowd you and aggravate you sometimes just to get your attention. And they that hated them ruled over them, let you live in it. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection. Now listen to this. They were brought into subjection. God let them live in foreign territory under foreign domain and broke their spirit. What happened to them in Egypt happened over again. You know, I wish that maybe I'd get the message one time and I wouldn't have to do things twice. How many anybody, I'm just asking a question. How many in here has ever hit their finger with a hammer? Oh, we had it. All right, put your hand down. How many has ever hit their finger with a hammer more than one time? Why did you do that? You know, we are notorious for repeating things that don't do anything but hurt us. I know. You said, I just don't like that kind of preaching. I know. I ain't done yet. You might find something else you don't like about it. Just wait till I get done. I ain't going to get done, but just wait till I get further down the road. Many times did he deliver it. Now watch this. I like this. Verse 42 said their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand, right? Do you know what Habakkuk's message is? His message was the fact that he was complexed, perplexed. He was bothered, irritated, enraged because he couldn't understand how God could use the Chaldeans to chastise the people of God. Notice what the Bible said. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they brought, listen, and they were brought into subjection under their hands. The word for hands, a Hebrew word that means power, direction, dominion. Now notice in verse 43, I like it, now watch it. Many times did he deliver them. Who? God. Many times did he deliver them. But they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded. Listen to verse 44. Folks, if you ever mark in your Bible, you can start marking right about now. Notice in verse number 44, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. You want to know how to save a nation? Here it is. Mark verse 44. You want to know how to save a home? Mark verse 44. You want to know how to save a church? Mark verse 44. You want to know how to save a preacher? Mark verse number 44. The Bible said, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captive. Notice number 47. Mark it. Great God up in heaven, mark it. You know what it said? Save us. I want to tell you right now, when we get down to where the pressure's enough and the heat's enough and the problems are enough and the sickness is enough, you know what we're going to say? Save us. Save us. I want to tell you, praise God, the Bible gives me hope. Oh, Lord, our God, and gather us from among the heathen. You know what they're saying? We want to live separated again. We want what's right again. We want, great God, you can have this. I'll run around the building just to think that the Lord of glory has given me what he's given. Let me make two or three observations real clear, and then we'll go somewhere else. I'm troubled at the condition that our land is in. But closer than that, I'm troubled at the conditions that our families are in. You know, many, many times I've never been able to tell you. Somebody starts missing and people ask me where they are and I'm embarrassed for them. I'd said I'd rather you call them. I'd rather you call and find out where they're at. Do you know the majority of the people that you don't find sitting in these pews today wound up in trouble over some little petty junk in their personal lives? You said, well, why didn't you tell us? Do you think that helps anybody? Do you think that's going to change it? Do you think that I've downgraded people and walked all over them is going to make it right? It never makes it right. But we're living with an opportunity to get right with God. Boy, this is a relevant message. Let me take a few moments and take you back to where they were in verse number 21. You got time to flip back with me? Do so. I want to mention a few things that I think are noteworthy for where we're living right now. I think that things need to be dealt with in our own hearts. Why, preacher? Because we've forgotten God. You know that? We've forgotten, I could name a bunch of them. We've forgotten how good he is. And he's been good to us. He's looked after us and we didn't even care about ourselves. Fed us and clothed us. We were running wild and ragged and God still kept listening for the sound of our hurt. Boy, I'm so grateful to God that in spite of all the wrong I've done in my life, that he still had hope. He still had hope for me. Notice in verse number 21, the Bible said they forget God, their Savior. I want to tell you what that word is descriptive of. It is descriptive of the person that mislays the Lord. How do you mislay somebody as big and great as God? I think it's a thought at a time. I think it's a day at a time. I'll tell you something. I've seen a lot of good people broke. And they were broke to the point they were so embarrassed they couldn't go back to church in their mind. You know the best thing that ever happened for people to lose their pride? Go back to the place of their brokenness and let God rebuild their lives. Now, folks, I have foundational clarity to this in this one chapter right here. God told us all the things that they did wrong, but he said in spite of all their wrong, I had loved them and I pitied them and I cared for them. I want to tell you the best thing that ever happened is for somebody to admit, dear God up in heaven, I've missed it. They forget God. They mislead him. Number two, they no longer desired him. I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you there's sometimes I'm more excited about going to church than others. And you can say the same thing. The devil, let me just tell you something about your house. The devil will do anything he can to mess up your house with a man or a woman or a boy or a girl that lives in that house. And you need to be real careful. Moms and dads, listen to me. You kids, be quiet a minute. Don't you ever let them young ones come between the two of you. Because y'all had each other before them young'uns come along. And the devil will play that part out, and he plays it real good. You know, the mama's real sympathetic. She's real emotional. She loves them young'uns. It's harder for her to say no than it is for that man. You know why? God made him to use his head instead of his heart for his decision-making. God put that woman in that man's life so that the man would have some comforts of emotion because God needed something to soften him. And I know it must have because when God allowed the man to declare that woman, he said, whoa, man. It excited him to think that God had dumped this in his life and deposited this woman in his life to be a blessing. The Bible alone declared that they had mislead God. They no longer wanted him. Number three. He no longer was the main object of their attention. Now, I want to say something, and I don't want to say it because I'm mean. But I want to tell you, when we come to church, there should be one thing in this room. It should be our hearts aimed at heaven and God. And everything else should take second place. There shouldn't be nothing. Nobody should be bothering you for at least 1 hour in your life. Yeah, but the youngins need $20. Bless God, they probably knew they needed it all week. Let them wait an hour. Amen. 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 Man, son, I got to thinking, I was all excited. I wanted to read all the way down to the, but I like Mr. Brown on TV, and I know where he got his word, and let all the people say amen. Amen. That's what he said in the last verse. There comes a time for us to consent to where God is at work. They mislaid him. They had no desire for him. He was not the object of their attention. You said, how deep does that run? The word for God is descriptive of the Lord's mightiness. I want to tell you, God's the only one who can knock the devil out of your life. I know how it is. I know how it works. He'll try to get you sideways before you ever leave the house so that you'll be so disturbed you don't want to go to church. Hey, by the way, if that's ever happened, hold your hand up. Okay. Ain't but one or two of you lying. Oh, God. And verse number 21, he said they forget God, their Savior. Let me give you two or three things and we'll leave you. Number one, they forgot the person that had been helping them. That word for Savior is an English word, comes from a Hebrew word that means help. Now, I want to stand publicly and make a statement that I believe to be 100% accurate. God sure has done better by me than I've done by him. God's always looked after me. He's always taken care of me. Let us try to destroy our bodies and God still loves us. Let us harm our neighbors and God still loves us. Let us mistreat people in our lives and God still loves us. But he still holds us accountable. I think that the time has come in our life when we need to understand we're living with an opportunity to make things right with God. And we ought to do it. Now, I'm going to give an invitation in a minute. Now, there's not a person that I hadn't already nailed with the scripture. Man, we just need a time that we can say, Lord, you know, that preacher's right. All he did was read the scripture. I mean, the truth is, you wouldn't even have to have an outline. All I've done is read the book and take a few words right out of the book. And let me give you a second thing. Verse number 21, you know, said they forget God, their Savior, declaring their help. They forget God, their freedom. Do you understand? That word literally means to free. Man, we're so bound up. We can't hardly go to church. We're so bound up. We got what happened Friday when we left work on our mind, or what happened down at the house when we thought everything was calm and collected. And I want to tell you folks something. Let this be a warning to you. There can be a whole lot of trouble from an outside source that unless you limit what comes into your life repeatedly, you may find yourself in bog after bog after bog, in problem after problem after problem. Some people will never have enough money. As long as you keep giving it to them, they're going to spend it. Teach them to learn how to, why under God did I say that? Teach them how to learn to manage what they got. I ought to take the same approach Brother Mark's mama. She said she ain't leaving nothing for them. She's going to spend it while she's living. I don't like to say stuff like that. It's stupid. The Lord keeps trying to get me to do stuff I just don't do. Let me desire something. She'll say, go get it. I thought, dear God, don't you know when to say no? Ain't a week goes by in my house. Well, I'm nailing her this morning. I asked her just yesterday, I said, where'd that pocketbook come from? Well, I got a deal. Bless God, they more deals down at my house than they got on the stock market. Every time I turn around, there's something new. And them son guns getting big as a picnic basket these days. Living with an opportunity to get right with God, it ought to be a motivating force behind our lives, because our Savior's our help. Our Savior's our freedom. Number three, our Savior is our safety. One of the greatest pictures in the Old Testament. I've said this many times, walking to this door, was when they talked about the death angel coming inside the halls of Egyptian ties. Them boys took that blood because they were instructed. Put it across the lintel, down over the doorpost. And the Lord told them, when the death angel comes, he will not come through the blood. He'll see the blood over the lintel. He'll see the blood down the side. Great God Almighty, if you know you've been washed in the blood, it don't matter. Whew. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm glad the Lord of glory lets me know he's my helper. He's my safety. Praise God, he's my freedom. I'll give you a fourth and I'm through. He's my defender. There's not a person under the sound of my voice that probably don't deserve punishment for wrongdoing. But I'm sure I'm glad God's a little bit more merciful than some people are. I texted a little message this morning to somebody, I won't tell you who it is. And I said, I've had you on my mind for months and I just wondered how you're doing. You never hear that. One of them people that just got shot out of the saddle. Somebody told me the other day, said, Preacher, I don't understand how you make it. People coming in and out of your life and they just come in and go out. Go in and go out. Boy, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes I just get tired of the journey. I can't rebuild people's lives. I can't stop them voices. Can't change their circumstances. And I'll just tell you, sometimes just a little too much. And then God leads me to scriptures like this. And God said, you tell them they just forget the Lord, their Savior. I want you to stand all across the room. God's dealt with your heart. You ought to slip out right now. Crawl in this altar and say, God, I'm sorry. Have a little talk with Jesus. It makes it right. Sure would make things a whole lot better for you. Tomorrow go a whole lot smoother. You say, Preacher, I'm not a Christian. Today is a good day to become a Christian. You a sinner? You want to be saved? Get out of that pew, come down this altar, point at me, nudge me. Preacher, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I need that safety. I need that freedom. I need that defender. All those things you said, I need them. If that's your desire, you can find it. Heads bowed and eyes closed now. Life is swiftly passing us by. Hardly a day goes by that someone don't say, did you hear about so-and-so? They died this week. Well, I want to tell you, death is a complicated world to deal with. But what if that person was you? Are you ready? I wonder if you're in this room this morning, you say, Pastor, I need your prayers. There's some complicated issues in my life. And God knows I don't want to die in the shape I'm in this morning. Would you pray for me? If you believe that to be your prayer, hold your hand up. Let me see where you're at. Put it right back down. Thank you to somebody else. I don't want to make my exit in this shape. Preacher, pray for me. Please pray that God would help me. Somebody else. just hold your hand up and say, will you pray for me? I promise you, I won't embarrass you or bother you. I just want to know if you're concerned about your own life enough that you can do that. I wonder if you're here, you say, preacher, I've come this morning and I've given God everything that I am, and I want to make things right. I want to make things right. If that's your heart's desire, would you slip your hand up? Wanting to make things right. Somebody else, you want to slip up your hand and say, I've come because I want to make things right. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the desire to come to God. And Father, for these people that came and crawled into this altar, we thank you for people that don't mind doing it publicly. We understand that the times of our days running out, even our freedoms day by day is gradually being taken away from us. Lord, help us to do what we need to do while there's still opportunity. For what you do, we bless you. For that greed, that hurt, that pain, that sorrow, that part of that life that's been divided or severed, I pray that somehow or another you do what needs to be done in them, and we'll bless you for it. We plead this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to say thank you for listening this morning.